הקצה משודרת מאולפני BPM. BPM, המכללה לסאונד, רדיו ומוזיקה מתקדמת.
אתם עכשיו. על הקצה. אתם עכשיו.
אתם עכשיו. על הקצה.
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 Let's talk about gentle baby.
Riot! Riot! In Nitzan Pimple.
Riot Sessions.
Riot is love, face it, you're addicted to love. Addicted to love.
אתן ואתם על הקצה? kzradio.net על ראיות, תוכנית המוזיקה המהפכנית של רדיו הקצה שמוקדשת למוזיקה קווירית, להטאבית, נשית, פמיניסטית ואנטי גזענית. אנחנו כאן היום בתוכנית מיוחדת מאוד, מארחים את עזרא פורמן לייב באולפן לקראת ההופעה שלו מחר בברבי בתל אביב. ובנוסף לראיון, עזרא פורמן גם ינגן לנו סשן אקוסטי קצר לייב כאן באולפן בפעם הראשונה אי פעם בתולדות ראיות. ראיות סשנס, ככה אנחנו הולכים לקרוא לזה. ואם זה לא מספיק, תוכלו לצפות בנו ממש עכשיו בלייב בעמוד הפייסבוק של הקצה. כל מה שאתם צריכים וצריכות לעשות זה רק להיכנס לעמוד הפייסבוק שלנו, ושם, נכון דייב, אתם פשוט תוכלו לראות אותנו בלייב, כן, אוקיי. אז אם אין לכן או לכם איך לצפות באירוח בלייב בפייסבוק, אל תדאגו, כי אנחנו נעלה את כל הצילומים בהמשך. תוכלו להתעדכן כרגיל בעמוד הפייסבוק שלנו או בטוויטר. רגע לפני שנתחיל, אני רוצה להגיד תודה ענקית ומיוחדת ליונתן ליפיץ וליאלו בריק פרודקשנס שהביאו אותו להופעה כאן בארץ. תודה ענקית לכל הקצב, תודה לדייב מיכאל שחר וללי זגנרייך, נכון? זגנרייך, כן. ללי זגנרייך, שהם צוות חי על הקצה, שהם מנציחים את האירוח כאן. תודה ענקית לקואמי ולאורלי איתן, תודה למפיק העל, אסף רפפורט. מוזמנים ומוזמנות, כמו תמיד, לכתוב לנו בפייסבוק ובטוויטר. עזרא פורמן איתנו כאן, לייב באולפן, ממש עוד כמה דקות נתחיל עם ראיון וסשן לייב. לפני זה נשמע עוד שיר מתוך Perpetual Motion People. עזרא פורמן עם Ordinary Life.
I'm sick of this record already. Let's wreck all the preconceived notions we bring to it. Check all the baggage, or better yet, burn it and start all over again.
אני ניצן פינקו, אגב. תחם עד שש.
Along with your life as you know it. Way back in our mother's wombs, folded like notebooks. We had no idea of all the tote bags and meat hooks waiting out in the world. One September in Boston, I lost the will to live. I was just like an astronaut cut from the ship, and floating and waiting to die. I was sick of my ordinary life. I was so sick of ordinary life. I was sick of this ordinary life.
Okay, now we'll do this in English. You're listening to Riot on KZRadio.net, a show dedicated to revolutionary, queer, LGBT, feminist, and anti-racist music. With us in the studio is Ezra Furman. Hi, Ezra.
Hi.
How are you? You can put the earphones if you want to hear better. Yeah, you don't have to though, only if you want to. So, as we say it in Hebrew, Baruch Haba. You speak a little Hebrew?
I speak a little Hebrew.
Maybe you should talk to the mic so we'll hear you. Just a second. Okay, Maybe what?
אני מבין עברית יותר טוב from how I speak it.
This is the same as I do, as I know how to speak Romanian. I know how to say Nuștu Romanește.
What does that mean?
I don't speak Romanian.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you got to learn.
Exactly. Except for the curses, of course.
You know any good ones?
In Romanian?
Yeah.
I know how to say maimuță, which is a monkey.
That's
like
a curse?
You look like
okay.
a monkey.
Yeah. Well,
I
good.
Don't know. Maybe for Romanian Jews
that's like
100
one.
Years ago.
That's level yeah. one curses.
So you're here because you perform tomorrow at the Barbie Tel Aviv. Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm excited. I love playing shows. It's my favorite thing to do. I don't get bored of it. I don't get bored of playing shows. I think it's because I'm in a good band. Mm-hmm. I think if I was in a bad band, it would be boring to play shows.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we never played in Israel before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I usually have a outsider status as Jewish person, and not
really?
Here you don't have it. Well,
like how does it manifest when you perform somewhere? You're like the Jewish musician?
No, I think it's just it's
like
mentally,
a subconscious. Yeah,
I feel
subconscious
like I'm
thing.
Sort of in this you know, in this group that is not the majority group, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I don't, you know, it's like a set of attitudes to like see yourself as some kind of an outsider. And to come here to Israel, it's like, oh, I don't have that. Now that's the establishment
cool.
here. And
that's
it's a little bit creepy. Yeah. It's like, oh, like I can't distrust the government in the same way. I can distrust
them
in a different
way. You can. Yeah,
it's a whole
okay.
new way.
a whole new sets of ways.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that. So tomorrow you perform at the Barbie to promote your latest album, Perpetual Motion People. And I was wondering about the name of the album. What does this motion mean to you?
Ooh, motion. I mean, it's kind of a spiritual condition to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for one thing, it refers to us, the band. We've been traveling a lot lately. Our last album did kind of okay in the UK, and we started traveling to Europe all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always in motion, but it's something about not settling on a self or a truth, you know,
on like one fixed thing.
Yeah, I'm into fluidity of a lot of things. I think that the truth has got to be a fluid, moving thing that you don't really ever know once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of figuring out what the truth is as you go, who you are as you go. It's also, I think, has a lot to do with me not knowing who I am exactly, and that's a good thing not to really know.
You, mm-hmm.
I create it day by day.
Mm-hmm. You create your identity rather than accept it from like a preconceived notion.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have a preconceived label or group that I'm going to put myself
yeah.
as part
mm-hmm.
of before
mm-hmm.
I think
yeah,
about
yeah, I
it.
Totally get you. And I think that manifests really well with the song Wobbly from the album, right?
Yeah, yes.
So,
and that one specifically also addresses, I mean, everything. It's like I'm wobbly and undecided on gender, and personal philosophy and sexuality and who I am in the world, I like that it's something that's shaky and mm-hmm. not fixed.
Though you do seem to have very strong opinions regarding a lot of subjects, because you do know that you, for example, you like to dress the way you dress, and you do believe in God and you're a Jewish Orthodox. So it's not, you know, those things are not that wobbly. They're kind of like, they're strong opinions.
I guess so. I mean, mm-hmm. they're strong interests. You have to kind of be like, this is my thing and this is part of who I am. But I don't really know... I feel like I'm continually exploring those things, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I also don't know if I would say that you could call me Orthodox.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to like force an identity upon you. No, really. Like I'm not kidding.
You're doing it too.
I'm sorry. I'm worse than the establishment.
I guess I don't usually use that word, and I don't like the mm-hmm. words here in Israel. It's Judaism is
yeah,
really
it's very a binary thing.
It's a binary
if
thing.
If you have a yarmulke on your head, you're automatically considered religious and that means orthodox. Yeah. And I've like committed this crime as well just now. But you know, it's also like I think it's because me coming from a very secular background, this is all we know. You know what I mean? This is like
sure, yeah.
That's the discourse among secular people.
That's how it used to look to me too, until you realize you can make these things what mm-hmm. you can be honest about these things, and you don't have to take it all as one identity that
you can make them wobbly.
You can make it wobbly, make it queer.
Okay, so let's listen to Wobbly from Perpetual Motion People. Wobbly from Perpetual Motion People. Ezra Furman is here with us on Riot on KZRadio.net.
That's the saxophone solo. Mm-hmm. It's the best part. I like our saxophone player.
Actually, when Dave, the photographer here, and me talked about this show earlier, he mentioned that it is very interesting the way that saxophone has resurrected in recent rock and roll and indie, and for me with punk, you know what I mean?
It's like, is there a lot of punk bands playing with the saxophone?
I know Downtown Boys have really like
I just heard that band.
They're really good, right? Yeah, we play them a lot here on Riot. So a lot of saxophone, right? Like for years it was considered very cheesy and very uncool, and suddenly it's like
that's
a cool thing again.
It's just whatever is uncool for a while, then it gets cool again.
Retro.
Who cares? I don't listen. I don't care.
So do you want to play us something? You have your guitar here with you?
I'll do it. Okay, fine.
Okay, so let's do like this with the microphone. So what do you want to play first?
I just feel like playing this song called Cherry Lane, which is in my mind for dedicated to homeless people, people without a place to stay tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ezra Furman live on KZ Radio.
Past the wounded cars reflecting all their dirty light. Past the unnamed bars, the unnamed prisoners of the night. Past the dimming county line when all turns black and red. Past the winner's trash bags where the losers laid their head. Past the gravel parking lot where blood is only blood. Past the storefront church where they say God made man from mud. There you'll find the broken toys who chase their love in vain. If you wander over yonder down my cherry lane. Past the Winnebago dreaming all its iron dreams. Past the haunted drugstore where the fortune teller leans. Listen for the freight trains rumbling, talking in their sleep. Hear the lonesome drifter ask the Lord her soul to keep. Walk beneath the signpost where the purple neon hums. See the ugly cardboard world where someday never comes. And you may see my old man Elliot walking with a cane. If you wander over yonder down my cherry lane. I got sick, then I got sicker, and then I lost my way. Heard a song without a singer at the close of day. I went driving, I went walking, I went far away. Went somewhere you can't come back from, somewhere you can't stay. If you see me on your journey, try and say my name. You can wander, trace your footsteps back the way you came. Or you can take the highway running wild through joy and pain. If you wander over yonder down my cherry lane.
So, did you have someone specific in mind when you wrote this song, or something specific in mind?
Well, I was thinking about homeless people in Chicago, mm-hmm. and in San Francisco. Every city I've lived in, there's homeless people all around, and you, I don't know. I just like to talk to them. Sometimes, you know, I guess not all of them. That would be,
yeah.
There's too many, really, but. Yeah, I always think about what it would be like to be to not have a place to stay, and sometimes I am traveling around and in our like small, not like kind of safe way, we kind of are like homeless when traveling, and we often don't know where we're gonna stay, so we ask people we don't know if we can stay on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have this small thing that started to grow into like a compassion and a sort of a thinking about what it would be like to be homeless all the time.
Like a sort of identification.
Yeah, and I can't say I'm homeless in the way that people who are really homeless are homeless at all, but I don't know. There's just some things in your life that open you to other people's experiences that mm-hmm. are different than your own. And so that... some kind of thoughts for the homeless just started to lodge in my brain, and then they turned into a song or two.
And do you think that resonates with you more strongly because you're queer, and queers, like a lot of time they have this problem of like, you know, they come out and then they
have to run away from home, and I know queer people who have been homeless, and so there's that aspect of it too. I mean, mm-hmm. it feels still far from anything that would happen to me, you know, because I have like this network of support and people
mm-hmm.
who, I don't know, can loan me money if I run out of money,
mm-hmm.
which I don't usually.
Thankfully. And it seems to me that you've become like this network of support for your audience, because I've seen on your blog that young people are asking you for advice. They're asking you for information about books about bisexuality, or like, I want to come out, but I don't know how and when and how to do it. So how does that feel for you?
That's an honor. You mm-hmm. know, it's just an honor that it would seem like, that was my goal when starting to be more.
Maybe you can talk just like.
Sorry.
It's okay.
When starting to be more vocal about being queer, mm-hmm. It like publicly and as a performer and in interviews, my only hope was to bring some kind of consolation to queer people who might need some comfort, I guess, mm-hmm. or might need to like see someone like a queer person being fucking cool. You know,
yeah.
And I think if I had I wished I had found more queer role models when I was younger, because you know, you go through a lot of pain or like thinking it's the future is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So now it seems to me we've talked about it earlier before we came to the studio, that there's this wave of a lot of artists that aren't afraid to admit, like to admit it's a bad choice of words, but to publicly state that they're not heteronormative, that they're bisexual or queer, or, you know, a lot of artists like yourself and Perfume Genius and many, many more around the world, not only American, are starting to give visibility.
Yeah.
to yeah. those issues and to those identities. So how, why do you think this happens now? What in history like makes this thing grow?
Isn't it? I don't know. I can think of some ideas, but I don't think it's just in art, you know. I think queer people are all over are longing for freedom and acceptance, and maybe it's the internet. The internet is just shoving everybody in everybody else's face all the time.
Basically, that's like a sentence that can sum up the internet.
Yeah, I mean,
this and cats.
Right. Everyone has to learn to accept cats in their lives now.
I don't, actually. I fucking hate cats. And everyone are like, but you're a feminist, but you're bisexual, but you're cool. You're an indie person. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I don't like cats. I'm a dogs person. Right?
So you're racist, is what you're saying.
I also eat meat.
What are they gonna do with
you? I don't know. I'm a disappointment. I know.
I eat the flesh of the dead from time to time also.
The flesh of the dead. It sounds like a zombie movie.
Yeah, that's what I like to call eating meat. Eating the flesh of the dead.
I like to call it a hamburger. I don't like to think about where it came from, what it used to be. And people are like, yeah, this is the... I'm like, no, this is my food.
That's how most people think about it.
Yeah. That's my way of coping. I know. I betray Morrissey every time. I hear a little Morrissey in my head telling me meat is murder. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what, Morrissey? I like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get back to the topic. So you thinking, I can talk about eating meat all day, like seriously.
I can talk about Morrissey all day. Stop me.
You know he's coming to Israel very soon. It's so exciting. We love him here.
Where is he playing?
In Caesarea, which is like this huge place for enormous acts. So I don't know how is it going to be.
Yeah, you know? I know.
It's going to be kind of awkward, I think. But I don't know. Like, hopefully the place will be packed. It was last time he was here. I cried throughout the show. It was very emotional.
I've still never seen him.
I don't know what
I'm doing.
I don't understand this. You need to come see him here in Israel.
That seems inconvenient.
To say the least. Well, you have to see him, okay? You just have to, yeah. Okay. So let's talk about your recent post on Facebook. You're very involved with your audience and you're very, like, you run your own blog and you run your own, I think you run your own Facebook page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it. And so you wrote a Facebook post that you said you dedicate this tour, current tour, to the victims of the Orlando attacks on the LGBTQ community, and I thought that was really, really moving.
Well, you gotta say something, I guess. At least, I mean, I just feel as a queer person, like the mountings. You keep getting the sense that the world's against you, and things like give you. At least for me, I just get. Even though I live in places that are very accepting of LGBT people, you just start to feel like everything's against you and there's so much hate that's sort of being subliminally directed your way. And it's got to be counteracted. I just have to try to counteract it a little bit by sending people love. And that's and dedicating the tour and all the shows on this tour to those victims. It's really just a message of love to queer people who have survived.
It's still hard for you to talk about it, right?
It's a tender spot, and also it's. I mean, you just might get me to go on a rant about gun control in America, and maybe that's not what we all do here.
Yeah, but it's more than that, right? It's more than gun control. It's the hatred being focused on a specific group of people.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's two... It pushes two buttons, which is the gun control and, like, the gun control button and the like problem with guns in America, and then just the button of, yeah, hatred directed toward queer people and people of color and queer people of color,
mm-hmm.
and general mad, hateful prejudice. And that's the only part I feel like I can address just by saying something that some people will hear that will temper the hatred that we're all feeling from that moment, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we all remind each other that we support each other, you mm-hmm. know?
That's what your music is here for, right?
It's a big part of the whole point of my music, yeah.
Is there like a specific, do you feel like you're on a mission?
Oh, that's too, no.
That's a big word, I
that's,
know.
No, that's a big word. Not on a mission. I'm obsessed with writing songs and making mm-hmm. records. I'm just obsessed with it, and I can't stop thinking about it, and I keep getting ideas of what to do with it. But the ideas more and more are like, this should be showing sympathy with the underdog, with mm-hmm. the outsider, the abused and oppressed and outcast. I sort of slowly started to realize that that's kind of the point of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to do that. It tends to try to lift up the lowly.
Since like the early days.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from blues and it comes in a lot of ways from blues music. And that's like, blues is all about being downhearted and outcast and trying to lift yourself up with music and put your trouble in a form that it can be felt and understood.
Mm-hmm.
That you can say things that you're not allowed to say in everyday life.
Yeah.
I think actually blues also comes from songs that slaves would sing, American slaves,
mm-hmm.
Black slaves would sing, and a lot of the times they'd put these messages in those songs where they could like complain about, like say things about the slave owner or things they weren't allowed to say in everyday life, and they could say it in song and it would get by and kind of express that. So I think that like something of that survives in rock and roll, like the thing that you can't say in everyday life you can say in music.
In music. Yeah, I totally agree. So one of your songs that I think manifests this idea is Body Was Made from the album, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so let's listen to it from Perpetual Motion People tomorrow at the Barbie Tel Aviv.
Say.
with Ezra Fuhrman live on KZ Radio on Riot Sessions. The first episode ever. תודה רבה לכל מי שכותב וכותבת לנו בפייסבוק ובטוויטר. ממש ממש שמחים שאתם איתנו. So you're now working on a book, right?
Ooh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay. It's in a, it's about a Lou Reed album called Transformer, which was released in 1972. There's a series of books called 33 and a Third.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know it, but...
Yeah, it's like little books.
Little books.
Around each, one album.
Each one is about an album. They're all by different people. Most of them are by like music writers and, you know, people who write professionally, but they had an open call for submissions.
Wow.
And I'd got an idea that I wanted to write about Transformer, which I don't think is the greatest album ever. I think it's a very good album. I don't think it's the best Lou Reed album really, but it's kind of the most fascinating to me. I'm very fascinated by Lou Reed, and I have read a lot about his life. I mean, the Velvet Underground, I think, is maybe the best band to ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite band.
Why do you find him so fascinating?
I get this sense of freedom from Lou Reed, and I really felt it like when I first heard the Velvet Underground when I was like 15, and I was like, I need this mm-hmm. in my life. It like points the way. I think he is kind of similarly to me, like he doesn't really claim an identity really, you know. He's sort of not gay or straight, and he's not like exactly a punk or a hippie, and everything he does says freedom to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sense that in his in his songs and performances.
But I have to say that for me, when he died, that was the first time that I realized he was bisexual. I didn't know it beforehand, and I read about the time his parents made him go through a shock therapy in
yeah.
order to try and in quotes cure him from his mm-hmm. attraction to men. And it made me very sad because I realized how little this part of his life was known to the public and part of his identity as a musician, you know. And as a bisexual myself, it's very important for me to have visible bisexual people in the music industry, like figures that I can look up to, as you mentioned earlier. So mm-hmm. it was very sad to me. Like for you, Lou Reed is like the symbol of freedom, but for me it's like, you know, it's unfortunate, I think, that he didn't have the chance to, you know, to do what you do, to just go out with your truth and, you know, wear what you want to wear and do what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think maybe he did in a different way, you know?
Yeah, it was a different time, yeah. You know,
yeah, I mean,
you have to address that.
And I think that album, Transformer, he's like starting to be more open about that. And I mean, actually, mm-hmm. the thing is, he was always very like, his songs are really explicitly sexual and
yeah,
kind of.
That's true.
I guess he, I don't know, there's something he's like, I like to watch him squirm like between these identities, and it's
yeah,
it is kind of moving how like I relate to him as like a closeted person.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't closeted and I'm not closeted, but like
this idea,
the time we spend in the closet sometimes gives us lifelong habits or like personality traits of being kind of distrustful of people or lying to people. I lie to people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you 4 lies already in this interview.
That's it?
That's a lot. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think it's a lot. How many lies have you told me?
You'll never know.
You're better at it than I am.
So we have the album here. Is there a specific song you'd like to listen to now? Like,
whoa.
You kind of want to listen to everything, right? I can see it on your face.
I've listened to this album a lot recently. Let's listen to Perfect Day. I think that's one of the best. It's track three.
It's track three. This song always makes me sad, you know. I don't know if it's because of train spotting or... Okay. Lou Reed, Perfect Day. בחירה של עזרא פורמן. Live ב-Riot Sessions.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. A perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep.
So Jonathan Lipitz, the producer, just said that this is the only version, the version with the various artists that really works, that has like multiple artists. Do you remember this version?
Yeah, yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember it that well. I only heard it once or twice. I started to
what?
Do a lot of...
This used to be a lot on like MTV VH1 when it came out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to things.
Okay.
Just listen to my old records.
So we have a question from our Facebook page. Rage Natanzon is asking, in what ways do you relate your singing and writing on freedom to current situation in Israel?
Ooh, hard.
That's a hard one.
Questions.
Yeah.
That's actually a really hard question. Mm-hmm. To me, I think if you, the one sign that someone doesn't understand Israeli politics is if they feel like very convinced about to see it one way. You know, it's just a complicated. It's. This is such a complicated place.
Yeah, it is.
And to not see that it's complicated is that's what scares me in people. So it doesn't wet like it's hard to write about it, write music about like things like
specific places,
moral ambiguity, and I could write about a specific place, but
like specific conflicts. This is what I meant.
Yeah. And something that is so, I find it hard to like call anyone really the hero of this story of Israel, you know? And I try to, you know, I guess songwriters look for heroes. So it's maybe one day I'll be able to write something about it, but it's like, it's just a heartache, war, you know? Continual war is just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's too difficult right now to handle with this.
Yeah, I don't know if it needs a song right now. It's like an anthem. Like an anthem will just, is always an oversimplification. You know? And some things need to be stated very simply, and some things are more complicated.
Yeah. So would you like to do another song for us on the guitar?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I didn't even tell you, or really hardly anyone yet, but we're putting out a little record with six songs on it. Great. In August.
What?
It's an EP.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't play any of the songs on it alone, really, except for one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. It's called it's called Penetrate, which, well, okay, you'll get the point. Penetrate my body, penetrate my mind. Penetrate to the center, leave the rest of it behind. Burn away all the excess that no longer applies. I've been changed, my Lord, I've been changed. Have a cold cup of coffee at a quarter to five. Spit your blood in the toilet when you watch the big sunrise. Better learn how to run now that there's nowhere to hide. Happy day, oh happy day. So young, and the men and the women hit the town and have their fun. And when they all hear my record, they will know what I've become. I've been changed, my Lord, I've been changed. Penetrate my country, penetrate my home. Steal away in the nighttime to the ocean white with foam. Sail away on the ocean, meet your maker on your own. Happy day, oh happy day. That's it.
Wow. So that was like the first time ever that anyone has heard this song from the new EP.
I don't think that's true. I showed
sure?
it to a couple of people. I mean, no, it's true. Let's just say that it is.
Yes. Okay. So this is it's like the official world premiere of the song first... Penetrate. Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay.
you talked me into it.
So what else can you tell me about the new EP?
Oh, well, the six songs on. Here's how it's basically like three songs are very high energy, full band, loud madness, and then the other three songs are low, feeling low. Slower, more like acoustic guitar as bruise, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. like a bruise. Like, yeah. The first side is I think I have a little bit of manic depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of another one of our manic depressive records.
Mm-hmm.
It's very manic the first half and depressive the second half. Full range of emotion. I think it's also on the theme of, in some way being like a runaway. That seems to be what I write about lately. It's
running away from everything.
Yeah. Or being on the run from authorities that are real or imagined, you know? That's mm-hmm. like the psychic like, territory that I operate
it's like
in.
A sort of a paranoia, but it can sometimes be justified, you know?
Yeah, we're all... We people who have been, like, even bullied just a little bit, I developed a kind of a paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sort of like, watch out for... people who will turn on you.
I'm curious, by the way, I have to ask, we only have like a couple more minutes, but I have to know what do you do? I guess you get a lot of like reactions when you just walking down the street, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
What do you do? How do you deal with it?
Sometimes I deal with it just fine and I don't care about it at all. And other times I feel terrible and it like ruins my day and I,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I'll like go get drunk or something. Cause it's like sometimes it's awful and sometimes it doesn't matter at all. I'm not sure what makes the difference. Maybe it's just my mood.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I try to remember is that negative responses don't usually mean that much and positive responses mean more. They're more
mm-hmm. they're more valuable.
Like they're more valuable and they're more I think they're more often honest and from the heart, you know? Mm-hmm. Like people being nice to you or giving you a compliment when you are, you know, purposely kind of putting yourself out there or looking different tend to be more sincere than people being jerks. Those people aren't really thinking that much about what
anything.
They're saying.
Yeah, well, mostly.
Who knows? Who knows what's in their mind? But
mm-hmm.
I try to brush them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully that would not happen to you while here in Tel Aviv. Do you have any plans? Mm-hmm. What you're going to do while you're here?
You should tell me. I just
got
here.
Okay. Okay, so we'll do this after the show because we only have 2 minutes left. So thank you so much, Ezra, and we'll see you tomorrow at the Barbie Tel Aviv.
It's going to be good. It's going to be...
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, we were really looking forward to it.
Our shows tend to be wild and sort of insane at their best, so I hope you can come.
Yeah, so see you all tomorrow at the Barbie Tel Aviv. And I'd just like to say a quick thank you to everyone involved in KZ Radio. תודה ענקית לכל הקצבת, לתומר אנונילס, אורי קדישאי, עומר סנש, ספיר כהן, ליה שפיגל, בר זוודה, חורך כהן, מכללת BPM. תודה אדירה לאסף רפפורט הנפלא, מפיק העל. תודה לצוות חי על הקצה שמעבירים אותנו כאן בלייב בפייסבוק. תוכלו לראות את זה אחר כך גם ביוטיוב שלנו וגם בפייסבוק. דייב מיכאל שחר ולי זגנרייך, נכון? כן, אמרתי את זה כמעט. כן, הייתי קרובה, עשה לי פרצוף כזה שלה, כמעט. תודה אדירה גם ליונתן ליפיץ וליאלו בריק שהביאו את עזרא פורמן להופעה כאן בארץ. אני ניצן פינקו ואנחנו נהיה כאן גם בשבוע הבא. בשבוע הבא נחזור לשעה הרגילה שלנו, 2 בכל יום שני, ראיות ברדיו הקצה, תוכנית המוזיקה המהפכנית של הקצה. ומה עוד רציתי להגיד תודה למישהו? לא, נראה לי שכן, לקואמי ולאורלי איתן. הנה, ידעתי שחסר מישהו. Thank you so much, Ezra. And hope to rock with you tomorrow. So we'll end with Hour of the Deepest Need from Perpetual Motion People, one of my personal favorites. Yalla bye, nitra mahar ba Barbie be Tel Aviv.
It's time you brought your face across the railroad to my place. I can't share this whiskey with you through the phone. And if we drink enough of it, you might just get me to admit that I never knew quite how to be alone. Can sit on my back steps and intertwine our fingertips while you talk about the nice things that you once had. And if the turntable still starts, you can teach me how to waltz, and I'll teach you how to feel really, really bad.
was called Riot Girl Manifesto. Because us girls crave records and books and fanzines that speak to us, that we feel included in and can understand in our own ways. Because I believe with my whole heart, mind, body, that girls constitute a revolutionary soul force that can and will change the world for real.